Good morning, everyone. It's time for hymn sing. So with those of you joining us on Zoom, we are ready, and here we are in the beautiful sanctuary, ready to sing some favorite hymns. Does someone already have one picked out for me? If not, then I'm going to choose the first one. You get second, Susan. I like number 382, and I haven't heard that one for a little while. Number 382, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And let's do verses 1 and 4. I saw that Susan had a request, but now there she is. I heard 694. Come, ye thankful people, come. Yes, 694. And verses? 1 and 4, number 694. Now, I'm sure we have another request. Yes, thanks, Jude. 723. Shall we gather at the river? And do you have a favorite verse? 1 and 4 again of 723.
The beautiful river, gather with the saints. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful.
Have time for one or two more. Okay, I see Alita. Okay, I think I heard 98. Yes, verses 1 and 3, first and last verses of number 98.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Seems like a wonderful hymn to finish our hymn sing on, so we'll now continue with our service.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Good morning. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. We're glad that all of you are here today. And I'm grateful to be here today. I've had a rather severe head cold most of the week, and at one point I thought I might have to cancel out on my participation of the service today, but decided to cling to faith and muddle through as best I can, and I appreciate you bearing with me and hope you'll forgive my shortcomings this morning. So please sign in on the red pad at the end of your pew as a record of attendance. Use the individual slips first, which are near the top, and pass the pad back to the center aisle when all of you have finished, and you might make a new friend in the process. Thank you. We want to wish a happy birthday to all of our September people for one last time before we turn to a new month. And we have all of them listed here: Judith, Judy, Spau, Robert, Carol, Helen, Carolyn, Arian, Mark, Chung, and Kenny. So we wish you a happy birthday because you deserve to be every moment all day long, blessed, loved, and carefree. There will be an adult discussion class at 11 a.m. with Rob Bell's The Gods Aren't Angry, an examination of how did religion begin in the first place. This film is 89 minutes long, and everyone is welcome to bring a snack. Is that happening today after the service? Yes, okay. And it is still Christmas in September. Pick up your Samaritan's Purse Christmas shoebox for children in the fellowship hall today. That's where you pick up the shoebox. Suggestion lists for boys and girls gifts age 2 to 4 years, 5 to 9 years, and 10 to 14 years will be provided. Please also include a $10 cash donation in each box to cover distribution costs. The boxes are due to be turned in back here by November 3rd, so you still have a little over a month remaining to do your shoebox and get it back here. Free Saturday movies on October 5th at 11 a.m., Arthur the King, An adventure racer adopts a stray dog named Arthur to join him in an epic endurance race, facing extreme challenges and tests of character along the journey. It's based on an incredible true story, so be shown in our Faith Theater number 2 on Saturday, October 5th. And now, please rise as you are able to do so and join me in the call to worship. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. Because he turned his ear to me. I will sacrifice a thank offering to him and call on the name of the Lord. And in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And now our first hymn for this morning is number 368, My Hope Is Built.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame.
And now please pass the peace with your neighbors.
So far. Thank you.
I mean, I'm keeping this on you. I don't want to interfere with this.
Austin, can you let that person in on Zoom?
And as you return to your seats, it'll be time for our joys and concerns, and Deb will be coming around with the microphone.
Well, I went to the ophthalmologist, retinal surgeon on Friday after the surgery on my eye, and I have not been able to see out of this right eye in 9 months, and I was able to read down to the third line. It was like ESRN. It was a blessing that it's pretty much where it's going to be, so I have about 20% vision, but that's better than zero. And then if you could say a little prayer for Sophie. We don't know how it happened, but she has a blister on the bottom of her pad, so she doesn't want anybody to touch her or her foot.
Well, I think I told you last time, well, we weren't here last week, that I have my eyelid surgery scheduled for November 21st. Well, I got a call this last week that said they could move me up to October 10th, so I only got about a week and a half to go, and I won't have this red eye all the time, and it's tearing continuously. So the doctor says it's a fairly simple operation, and we'll have that all behind us.
I want to let you know that Pat Shores called me this morning and said, don't worry, I'm just not feeling very well, so I'm going to stay home and rest today, but she's not dying and everything is good, so pray for Pat to feel better.
Hi, Lori Pertell here. Just continued prayers for my pickleball friend, Melinda. Her husband has basically a tear in the esophagus and trachea, and his surgery's been postponed now till late October. So just prayers that maybe the same thing can happen and he can get moved up in the surgery route so that he can have some relief sooner. Thank you. Prayers for Melinda.
And we want to welcome Dale back for 3 weeks.
I'm going to stand because I can see you all better that way. And I have a load of joys that I want to share. My sister had a thyroid biopsy earlier this week, and on Friday she found out that none of the spots were of any concern. Complete good report. I just want to remind you of the box that will be sitting around for Pastor Phillips' Pastoral Appreciation Sunday, which is October 13th. I'm really glad he's not here today, actually, because I want to say, if you put something along with a card in here, you know that he, if it's a check or cash, he'll give it to the church. So I have a gift card that only he and his wife can use. So it's entirely up to you, but you know how he functions. And finally, upsetting actually, but still kind of fun, I will not be here on October 13th because I'll be in Egypt. I'm doing a almost month-long trip with my sister, a long-awaited COVID-canceled trip, and we're going to hit Athens, Istanbul, and Alexandria.
That sounds like a really, really wonderful trip, so we will pray for your safety and joy along the way.
As everybody probably knows from the news, Hurricane Helene made landfall, pretty devastating, serious storm, and the death toll now is up over 60, and they still haven't recovered all the bodies. But as usual, with these kind of storms, recovery will be years. It's not going to be a month or two. There are still people stranded that they're still trying to rescue, and it will take years for this. Keep all those people in mind. It's not just one state. It made landfall in Florida, but the whole Southeast has been affected pretty dramatically. So this is going to go on a long time, and I'm not sure if everybody knows this, but you know, the United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR, is usually some of the first people to arrive at disasters and the last to leave. You know, so they're going to be there too, you know, forever. We just keep all these people in your prayers.
As you know, our fires are winding down, but those of us who suffer with severe lung problems are still struggling to breathe. I wasn't sure if I would make it here today, but I know that there's several here in the church that do have difficulty with COPD, asthma, and et cetera. And all of those who even out in the community, please give extra prayer for those who are struggling to breathe because of the fires.
And keep Bruce and Linda in prayers for safe travel coming home, because they're coming home Monday, I think, Monday afternoon, and they're up with Linda's sister. So keep them in prayer for good travels.
I would also like to ask for your continued prayers for my mother, Darlene Brown, who is in Wildwood Canyon Villa. She's a resident there. She has two different kinds of walkers that she used to navigate around her apartment and when she goes out to medical appointments. But recently she's been losing more and more strength in her legs. She's had three falls within the past week. Fortunately, she hasn't broken anything or any significant injury, but the medical staff there are very concerned about her falling too frequently, and she's becoming less independent, which is very contrary to her spirit. She's very independent-minded and wants to do everything for herself, but they're considering the possibility of having her go to a wheelchair, which we're trying to resist that idea as long as possible, because once she gets into wheelchair, she probably won't ever come out again. So we want her to continue to try using her legs, what little strength she has, to get some semblance of exercise around her apartment and down the halls. But things are getting a little shaky, so to speak, and I'd like your continued prayers for Darlene Brown. Thank you.
Go ahead, June. June, did you have a prayer request? June, I can't hear you. I'm not sure if your microphone is on. Okay, go ahead and unmute now. I'll tell you what, June, I'll call you later. We'll get your prayer request and we'll put it out on the prayer email chain.
Okay, please join me now in our unison prayer. O eternal God, in whose appointment our life stands, and who committed our work to us, we commit our cares to you. We thank you that we are your children, and that you have assured us that, while we are intent upon your will, you will heed our wants. Fill us with that compassion for others' troubles, which comes from forgetfulness of our own, with the charity of those who know their own unworthiness, and with the glad hope of the children of eternity. And to you, at the beginning and the end, Lord of the living, refuge of the dying, be thanks and praise forever. Amen. Amen.
Okay, and now, please join us all together in our silent prayer. Dear God, thank you for everything that you've done for us and the many blessings that you've given us. Forgive us, dear Lord, if we complain about anything, because we have absolutely nothing really to complain about compared to other people in the world. But we do have trials, we do have troubles, we do have temptations, dear Lord. And so we put these on your altar. And we also put our illnesses on your altar too. Be with everybody here that has some kind of illness and some kind of request that they didn't even speak about, dear God, because you know all the requests spoken and unspoken. And we thank you and we praise you for that. And so be with everybody here. Be with their families. Be with their friends. Be with people fighting wars in Ukraine and wars in the Middle East, dear Lord, and everywhere else in the world. Especially the Christians that are facing persecution through all these trials and tribulations. And thank you for watching over us, dear God. And be with those affected by the weather, the mega storm in the whole southeast. Hardly ever hear of a hurricane doing all that damage. Once a landfall, that's about it, but not in this case. And so be with them. Be with people that have had to deal with all the fires, dear God. And bless them, dear Lord. And help them to look to you and not give up on you. And help us not to give up on you. Because you're there all the time, like footsteps in the sand. When we can't walk, you pick us up and carry us. We thank you for carrying us, dear God. And now we will pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And now we'll have our Young at Heart moments with Deb Davidson.
Today's story is Flashlight Night, An Adventure in Trusting God. Written by Elizabeth Hasselbeck, with Grace Hasselbeck, Taylor Hasselbeck, and Isaiah Hasselbeck. Illustrations by Julia Seal. Come with me and see this wall. It's full of chalk and super tall. It's where I'm brave and share my prayers, my biggest hopes, my biggest cares. I hold some chalk tight in my hand and think and think and think and stand. With that piece of chalk I write with all my heart, with all my might. All that keeps me up at night. My big math test, catching the ball. That kid who makes me feel so small, that I get all my spelling words right, that when I'm mad, I won't want to fight. You can write your prayers out too. Here's some chalk for me and you. You'll find it's easy once you start. Share anything that's on your heart. That bike I want, that skateboard trick, our friend who's just found out she's sick. Will I learn to blow a bubble or tie my shoes, stay out of trouble, at recess be the friend they choose, multiply and divide by twos? We sit and look up at the wall. Will our prayers be way too big or are they way too small? One more thing I can't forget. God, can you make me kind of tall? You both are brave to write your prayers, Mom says with her bright smile. Let's give our worries up to God and come back in a little while. To us, a while feels like forever. Actually, forever plus two. Is that how long we'll have to wait to see what God will do? We wait and wait and wait to go. Will the answers be yes or no? Waiting is done. The time is right. Mom calls out, "It's flashlight night. Come on, friend. Let's go see what answers wait for you and me." Up, up, up the stairs, we climb right to the spot, the wall that holds such special prayers, some answered and some not. Do you see the wall, Mom asks? Yes, Mom, I see it every night. She flips a switch and click, out goes the light. How about when it's dark, Mom asks? Do you see it now? I don't, I answer quietly, but I know it's there somehow. Now flash your light on the prayers where you see God's great big yes, and turn your flashlight off where your yes has not come yet. Flashlight on, I'm getting tall, I've grown an inch or two. Flashlight off, I'm still waiting for a bike that's red and blue. Flashlight on, I learned to tie my shoes. Flashlight off, that game I play, I always seem to lose. Flashlight on, that boy who was a bother is now being nice to me. Flashlight off, our friend's still sick. That skateboard trick just gave me a skinned knee. Flashlight on, at swim class I was really brave and jumped into the pool. Flashlight off, I still worry about the tests at school. Mom says, sometimes we see God's yes and other times we don't, but just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't. Even when it's dark and dim and when we cannot see, let's choose to place our trust in God. He's close to you and me. Dear God, I'm thankful for a place to share my worries, hopes, and prayers. I'm thankful I don't have to fear because you're always there. I'm thankful I can trust you with all my strength and might. I'm thankful for family and friends and for our flashlight night. Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. John 20:29. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. The end. May we always keep our trust in God and trust in his path for us. Amen.
And now it's time to sing hymn number 314, In the Garden. Time for our scripture reading. which begins with Luke 11:1 and continues with Matthew 6, verses 5 through 14. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, everyone. How are y'all doing? All right, well, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me come this Sunday. It's a real privilege, and I always have fun when I'm up here, so I enjoy it. We're going to enjoy ourselves, and we're also going to look to God to show us things through His Word. Not what I say, but what we see up there when we read the verses. So, Lord, teach us to pray. That's the title of this, because if we have a relationship with God and we know how to pray, and Jesus says, pray constantly, right? He says, pray constantly. So if we have that kind of relationship with Him and follow the basic template of this prayer, you don't necessarily have to quote it from memory. Sometimes I do. I'll quote it and I won't even think about it. And so I'm like, hey, maybe I need to think about it. Because if we do that, if we live this, we'll be able to have discernment against evil. We'll be able to use God's power. God will defeat Satan through us. You know, nobody will be able to touch us if we have that kind of relationship with God. Next slide. But he was praying in a certain place, and after he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." I got an interesting story when I used to be in Iraq. I found out there were different groups there that were kind of stuck in certain places in the Bible. Like there were the Yazidi Kurds. Most of them are Christians, but they were back before the fall of Satan, and so he was a good angel. He's their guardian angel. And then there's the John the Baptist people that carry pictures of John the Baptist, and every day they ask God to forgive their sins, and they go into the water, baptize themselves. So it's interesting going back over there where everything happened, and some people are stuck in certain places. But we don't have to be that way. We know the truth. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I got good news. Most of the Kurds there are Christians. That's why they're having so much trouble in Iran, because the women don't want to wear the scarf covering their whole head. But so if we don't get stuck, if we're open to God, we communicate with God, well, we're going to believe in God. We're going to believe in Jesus, which we already do when we profess that. We already do when we get saved. But it's going to become deeper, even more profound. And you're going to see signs and wonders when you communicate with God. The Lord teaches us to pray. Next slide. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. Now I'm not mentioning any names. I know some televangelists are good, some of them aren't. But when I was a kid, I was watching one of them. I forgot his name. But it starts out, it's from the scriptures, I think, some psalm. It's like, glory, wonderful, is God in the Almighty, the kingdom of heavens. You know, it was something like that. And the preacher was in his real fancy suit, just like this, like, hey, that could be about me, not about God. That kind of turned me off, so I flipped the channel. I didn't watch that anymore. And, it's kind of, guys that look good, you got to be able to discern things. And I don't know whether he was good or bad, but I just didn't like it from the start. So, yeah, so being a hypocrite, back then Jesus was really profound because that was a Jewish things. You know, we know a lot of Jews back then were good. A lot of them became Christians. A lot of the Pharisees did, as we saw in Chosen. And so a lot of them were right on target. When God came along, they saw him. They knew what was going on because they'd read the scriptures. Satan didn't put the blinders on him because they didn't let Satan do that. Because if we live in our own little feel-good world and only believe things that make us feel good, then Satan can put the blinders on. But if we look at God's Word and look at the truth, he cannot. So a lot of these Pharisees, they were all about show. You know, and they'd blow trumpets and stuff, and then, hey, it's time to pray. And, they'd dress up real nice and everything. And Jesus says, they're just doing it, a lot of them, because they can be seen by others. And so what does he say for us to do? Hey, sometimes we pray in public. I do. You know, sometimes we have to, but we're not doing it for show. We're not doing it on purpose just for other people to see. It's like right now, I just prayed in public a while ago. Hey, you did too, silently, right? But people that do this just to make themselves look good, they've already received the reward. They've received it already, which, okay, maybe it's not such a good one, right? Next slide. Now here's how we pray. We go into our private room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. As some translations say, will reward you openly. But that's not the reason you do it. Like, I'm not going to just pray in secret just because God's going to reward me. I pray in secret because I love God. That's why I pray in secret, because I want to fellowship with God. And if we do it in secret, we're really thinking about being open to God instead of thinking about showing off in front of others. So if we do it in secret, we can have a better relationship with God. If we just, quietly pray to God. Now, you can be in your closet of prayer when you're at work, because you can pray through your thoughts. You can pray silently. People won't even know you're praying. You can be in your closet of prayer anytime, because Jesus says pray without ceasing. So, that's what I do. I go to my mental closet and I pray. And I find myself constantly talking with God about something or another. Even like bad thoughts I might have, or things that, things I can only tell God. I'm like, hey, I shouldn't think like that. Or, hey, I shouldn't do this, or I shouldn't do that. And I talk with God about it. That's what God wants you to do. He wants to be an intimate God. He wants to know. He wants to be inside you, which He is. If you ask Him in you, He's there. And so, feel free to share anything with God, because God's going to work with you. Hey, I let something slip out. Oh, God's going to work with that too, right? God's going to work with you. God is going to work with you to where you get better and better, and you get closer and closer to God. Next slide. So when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So when we prayed this morning, God already knows what we were going to pray about. God already answers things that we need without us even knowing about it. Oh, man, I couldn't start my motorcycle this morning, so I had to jump it off because I didn't do maintenance on my battery. In a car, you should do it every year or two. Motorcycles have a high metabolism, so you got to do it every 2 or 3 months. You got to sand off the terminals and put it back together. And, oh, man, okay, I might be a little late for work. They don't care. I got flex hours, but, hey, I try to maintain a professional standard, right? But I'm like, okay, why did that have to happen this morning? You know, it could have happened right after I washed it this weekend, and I need to do some maintenance on it. Or I could have just thought to do it at the right time. And so, you know, I do my maintenance, jump it off, go to work, good to go for another 3 months. But when I think about stuff like that, hey, I'm going in traffic, I'm splitting lanes, I'm like, anything could happen. When I do that, last time something like that happened, I think I lost my keys for about 10 minutes. I didn't even get mad, and I felt like I got some kind of victory about that, because, you know, I used to get mad, and then I'd realize that God's probably causing it for a reason. He's probably looking out for me. And then I get, when something weird like that happens again, I'm like, okay, I probably would have gotten killed in traffic or something. And so, yeah, last time something like that happened, I didn't even get mad. And so felt good about that. But I think it's because every time I did get mad, I'd pray about it afterwards. And, yeah, I feel like God was telling me something like, hey, everything happens for a reason. When we're Christians, there's nothing, I don't think there's anything really by chance. God knows the past, knows the present, He knows the future. God lives in all three of them. Because God is above time. It's hard for us to understand because we live in time. Time is motion. You know, the earth spins around. That's one day. That's how we measure things. God is above all that. In a way, we are too. Because we're going to talk about God's kingdom in a little bit. But when you ask God to come into your heart, take away your sins, guess what? You're above space and time too, even though you don't know it. Because you have entered the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is now, and we are God's tabernacle. God lives inside of us. We are part of God's kingdom. We are part of God's kingdom. So someday He's going to rule the world openly, someday soon. But we are part of God's kingdom already. Next slide. So back to talking about words, though. Just doing repetitious words, it's like that means, you know, you start repeating something and you're not thinking anything about it. You're not thinking about what you're saying. And it's kind of like you're making the same request over and over again. I mean, would you like somebody to keep on asking you the same question or telling you to do the same thing over and over again? Oh, hey, please give me my keys when you have time. I'm busy right now. Please give me my keys when I have time. I'm busy right now. Please give me my keys when you have time. I'm busy right now. Finally, okay, thank you for giving my keys. You know, would you like somebody to ask you that several times? All right, so pray then in this way. Yeah, Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be revered as holy. Okay, we know we're not supposed to put God's name in vain. That's really the only curse word in the Bible that's a really bad sin to say, although we're not supposed to use bad language at all. You know, we're not supposed to do that. But that is the one word you don't want to say. So, you know, when somebody's in a habit of saying that, which I hear it at work sometimes, that's bad. They really need to pray to get out of that habit. So what else does that mean? Next slide. All right. There's primary names of God. You heard a series of sermons, I think, a while back about that, a good series. But there's primary names of God. You can look at them. The thing we're going to focus on is El. El is the oldest name. It goes back to Sumer, the oldest civilization. I think it was Elil, you know, one of the oldest gods there. But it goes back really far. Next slide. El was known as the supreme god of the Canaanites in the mythology of the ancient Near East. He was the father of gods and men and the creator deity. So he was the oldest God, the ancient one. They actually called him the Ancient of Days because he was the first God. However, they worshipped other gods more than him, involving him in pagan stories like the Greek and Roman gods. This made him more like a retired god because they hardly worshipped him. They worshipped all the other gods that, you know, he supposedly fathered and or married. You know, so they worshipped everything else except for El. He was a retired god. He lived on the mountaintops. And one of them was near Babylon. The other one was on Mount Sinai. He didn't have anything to do with it. Sometimes they probably would pray to him or something, but they worshipped all kinds of other gods. They also performed immoral acts and worship. And so that was the Canaanites. Abraham was called out of Ur where stuff like that was going on. That's why God called him away. His father was Terah. Terah made idols. Idols fetched a lot of money back then, so Abraham left a really good business to listen to God. His family probably thought he was crazy. Why are you leaving? You could live in town and make a lot of money and bling bling like us, right? But he didn't. He left. He listened to God. That's what we got to do. And the way we do it is we listen to the way Jesus said, Lord, teach us to pray. If we pray right, we listen to God. Next slide. All right. Ancient of Days. Okay, Baal, according to Canaanite mythology, married Asherah. Asherah had a son called Baal, or sometimes it's B-A-E-L, Ba of El. So this was supposed to be the son of God, right? Not the real son of God, okay? There's only one son of God, and we know who he is. He's the one that teaches us how to pray. So you see the golden calf. Does that look familiar? In the desert, that's what they did, and Aaron started going along with it. So it's like if it's easy to believe a lie if it's a half-truth. It's easy to believe a lie if it's a half-truth. Aaron was becoming the priest. He was Moses' brother, and he kind of went along with that. And, you know, they made a golden calf, and they sacrificed to it. And a lot of this involved human sacrifice, too. Moses intervened before all that got too far along. But then God judged everybody, and it wasn't good. It wasn't good. Later on, and that was at Mount Sinai. So that's who the name of the golden calf was. It was Baal. Later on, the Moabites, they met the Moabites. And the king of Moab, which was Midian, which was where Moses found his wife, Zipporah, which actually, they were okay after the war and everything because there were Midianites that were on Israel's side. Israel even said, hey, you can live with us. Because, you know, after a while, you can be converted to a Jew. You can now. It takes about 3 years. And in a job I'm at, it's too complicated. You can't do it in jail. It's impossible. But they can get a start. But so, yeah, you could. But the king of Moab, which included Midian, wanted to defeat Israel. He said, I'm going to defeat Israel. And he got his prophet, Balaam, which I think that was a title, actually, because they worshipped the Baal of Peor, which also accepted human sacrifices. And so, yeah, Baal of Peor, Baal, oh, that's the son of God once again. And so the king wanted to go to battle against Israel, but he couldn't, because God actually appeared to Balaam, even though Balaam was not with God. It's kind of like when you read that story, it's kind of sad because at first it looks like Balaam's going to be a good prophet and he just speaks what God says. He tells the king, he's like, no way, God is not going to allow you to destroy them. Those are his people. You know, so the king was upset. And so being a good prophet of the king, Balaam decided to deceive the Israelites. He's like, hey, this is Baal. This is the son of God, right? Well, that didn't happen too good. That didn't work out too good because after a while, a plague struck the Israelites and God actually got an upper hand and they defeated Midian when they were attacked. So it worked out where God got the upper hand, but God doesn't want stuff like that to happen. And it can even happen nowadays. I saw something Friday. In jail, I have to support all religions. I have to support all religions, even everything that's legal. But it's also, it's like a chaplain in the army. It's also an opportunity for me to witness to people. And so I don't have to give out satanic Bibles or anything. I direct them to a library. But sometimes I'll visit them if they make a request. And I'll even bring them something. But then I go visit them and I talk with them. And they're like, "Well, I'd like Christian stuff too." And I'm like, because they're like, "Wow, you visited me. I'm honored that you even came by and did that." And so I give them Christian stuff. Sometimes they'll want me to pray with them. And so that's a good way to witness to them. But a half-truth is bad. There's when we see something today, there's a lot of cults out there. When we see something today where they kind of make out like they're Christian, and there's a few examples of this, but they make out like they're Christian, but then there's a higher ranking person within that organization that calls himself a shaman, and they get some kind of word from an unknown entity or person, and they kind of direct the group. I'm like, it sounds kind of like Balaam to me, but yeah. So I wasn't even going to go too far into this, but then I felt like after dealing with this Friday, I was doing research on it, and I looked at a satanic service, and the guy's dressed up with a skin with horns, and I'm kind of like, yeah, I thought God might want me to talk about that. But that's after I wrote this sermon and sent the slides in. But yeah, that's a Baal of Peor, Baal, golden calf, deception, Asherah. Israel was constantly, this was a constant problem with them. It eventually caused the division, but it was a constant problem. The golden calves, in the north, and such and such. Next slide. But how do we revere God's name? This is one of the ways we revere God's name, by having discernment. When people try to kind of mix themselves with God, like a Baal of Peor, or like the golden calf, like even Aaron did, which he repented, the plague didn't kill him. Moses gave everybody a chance to go on one side or another, go on the golden calf side or go on God's side, the true God, El, Yahweh, go on that side. So that's how we revere God's name, by living the right life and listening to what God tells us to do, and following God's name, not something else that's a half-truth. So how do we revere? Okay, what's next? How else do we do it? Next slide. Thou shalt put no other gods before me. This is called Jabal Makla, the burned mountain in Arabic. It's believed by many biblical. I heard a preacher say biblically correct one time. I almost did that. But yeah, it's a biblical archaeology. They say that this is Mount Sinai. And I don't know if y'all probably saw, it was in the 80s or something. There's even a documentary about it. Two or three years ago, I watched it on YouTube. I've been busy today, or lately, helping my wife renovate the house and stuff, so I haven't had time to do research. And then they're taking off today, so Katie's spending time with me, so I'll be a month by myself listening to the Hammers and stuff. But yes, I'll be at church a lot. I'll need the spiritual. But yeah, but in the 80s, I saw a documentary, and then there's a website now, which I don't know if it has everything that was in the documentary, but they were actually, went out there, researchers went out there in a boat, they were diving, you could see coral formations that were in the shape of chariot wheels. They went over to this area, it's fenced off, I don't know if it is now, but in a documentary about 3 years ago that was from earlier, from the 80s, the Arabs have it fenced off, and the people were going there, and the Arabs that live around there call it Mount Sinai, they call that the Mountain of God, where Moses was. That's what they call it. And actually, the mountain has a top that's been burned, and they've analyzed the top of the mountain. And, it's not from any trees or anything. It was such an intense heat, even though there's no volcanic activity in that immediate vicinity. So, science can't explain why the top of the mountain is burned, But we know why. Because the Lord descended on top of Mount Sinai. So, you know, that, and there's everything there. There's a split rock. If you want to write that down and look it up, or even look up real Mount Sinai, you'll find it. But there's a rock, the rock of Meribah, that was split in half. There's an altar with a Jewish menorah on it and a bull. They think that might have been where the golden calf was. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that matches with the Bible. Whereas a traditional one, you know, the monastery that they built in the 5th century, that mountain doesn't have any of that stuff on it. It doesn't correlate at all. But and it also, it's in kind of like a wrong direction. The Israelites did a lot of wandering if they went to the other one. But yeah, it's very, very interesting. But nowadays, as we get closer to tribulation, God's going to be more of a God of judgment now. We're entering into that. So you're going to see some really bad things happen in the world. But do not be afraid. Greater is he that is within us than he that is within our... Greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. Sorry about that. I'm a little tired. Stayed up late last night because of the house stuff. Next slide. Okay, so other gods can be stuff like this. It can be fancy cars. It can be drugs. It can be money. It can be mansions. I mean, so if we start putting money first and thinking about being rich all the time, you know, that's not good. Hey, some rich people will go to heaven, but it's hard because it's very hard when you see somebody that's rich or somebody with a lot of money, you can actually tell their true personality. When money's involved, you can see, like, you know, when somebody dies and everybody fights over the inheritance, then you can tell what people are all about, you know, what they put first. And so when money's involved, it brings out what somebody really is. Hey, some rich people like Joseph of Arimathea, I'm sure he went to heaven. So, you know, not all rich people are bad, but, you know, when you put anything first, we're not honoring God's name. We're honoring another God. And that is not honoring God's name. Next slide. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Pray like this. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in this day and age, and all the signs are getting close, because a fig tree is blossoming, and Jesus said when that happens, the fig tree is something else. But yeah, he says when that blossoms, then these days are going to come to pass. So until that starts happening, there's a restrainer keeping it from happening, but the restrainer, I sense, is beginning to loosen his grip and allow things to happen. That's why you see Israel expanding now. And they're living in the Old Testament. That's why the God of the Old Testament's coming forth. But we're also in the age of grace, and I think even throughout the tribulation, people are going to be able to get saved. I don't believe that thing like the Holy Spirit leaving and all that other. That's not in the Bible. It's an interpretation. If you want to interpret it that way, that's fine. But the important thing is that we're right with God, that God's living in our hearts, and we communicate with God, and we pray constantly, as Jesus taught us how to pray. So, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom's here through us, through the church, and then his kingdom's going to come. Jesus is going to come. And it says not everybody in the Bible's going to like Jesus. And if they try to do anything, it says it's not going to rain on the nations that don't like the Lord when he comes and when he lives on Mount Zion. So that's interesting too. Jesus will be here for 1,000 years. All the other animals that represents all the other kingdoms of the earth, they're not going to have any power. He'll allow them to exist, but they're not going to be able to do anything. They're not going to be able to hurt people. Jesus is going to be here. Jesus is going to rule. But he rules right now. And guess where? In our hearts. Also, when we pray, may your will be done. So back in the 90s, there was this thing, gospel of prosperity, name it and claim it. I know y'all remember that. Hey, if you just claim it and ask Jesus, He's going to do it. You got to have faith. Just name it and claim it. God's going to prosper you. God's going to help you make a lot of money. He's going to prosper your business. That's all I heard in churches. And I'm like, you know, that's a little unbalanced. God did bless people in the Bible. Sometimes God blessed them really well, like Job. And they took it away, and Job's like, hey, I'm still going to follow you. And God gave it right back. So, yeah, that's not necessarily bad if God blesses you, but that shouldn't be the focus. We shouldn't follow God because he's going to prosper us. The only prospering that we should really be concerned about is our relationship with God. That's what should prosper. That's what goes first. It's not name it or claim it. It's not, you know, not praying for this and that, praying for things. You know, that doesn't mean it's wrong to say, hey, Lord, you know, we want to move into a house or whatever, but we ask if it's your will. Because we have to be like, God's working the chessboard. That's what he's doing. He's working the board for us because we're here to serve him. He's going to do everything he can so that we can go forward and do what we're supposed to do for God. He's going to work the board for that. He's going to do that. He's going to make that possible. That may involve, you know, doing real well in your business or whatever your calling is. That may involve, you know, being able to move and get a house or something. It may involve all that, but that's not the focus. The focus is doing God's will. And that's why we ask, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Next slide. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Give us today our daily bread. So that means, does that mean we should pray for a lottery ticket? Yeah, we'll go to 7-Eleven to get bubble gum or something and have to stand in line behind people getting tickets. And, you know, some of them don't look like they're doing so good, but they're going to spend money on lottery tickets. I even talked to somebody that was making plans. It's like, when we win the lottery, we're going to go to Cancun. So those are our plans. When we win the lot, you know, so they're planning their vacation on winning the lottery. You know, so God wants to provide us provision. Not saying it's bad to get a lottery ticket if you want to. One other chaplain told me, because at work they're going in on a lottery, and one other chaplain was like, no, I can't do that. That's gambling. And I was like, where does it say that in the Bible? Because I was looking for gambling in the Bible, you know, and I'm like, where does it say that? He says, don't charge usury. And I'm like, okay, that's an interpretation. Because the Jews, usury is charging interest, and so that's why a Jew, when they loan money to another Jew, they're not going to charge them interest. That's all that means. But is gambling right or wrong? Common sense tells you, if you start gambling, you do it a lot, you're going to lose a lot of money, right? But God doesn't want you to use your resources like that. So common sense tells you that, yeah, it can be wrong, especially if it's overdone. You know, it's not just a little trip to Vegas and back and whatever. So, yeah, that's why I don't tell everybody buying a lottery ticket's wrong or gambling's necessarily wrong, but all that stuff can be if it becomes an obsession. It's common sense. So give us our daily bread. That means give us provision. You know, God's probably not going to make us rich. You know, God's not going to make us, like, live the life of Riley, so to speak. It's an old saying. I don't even know what it means. But there was a general named Riley. I don't know if there's a connection. But God's concerned about meeting our basic needs, giving us a shelter, giving us a place to stay. You know, he'll do that, food to eat. When I pray with inmates in jail, they often talk about that. Some of them are homeless, and they're there now. And they tell me God works in mysterious ways, you know, when we're talking, because, you know, now they're getting some food to eat, a place to stay, and then they're going to go into a program where they still have a place to stay and can get a job. And so a lot of them aren't bitter because they're in jail. Some of the guys I see keep on going in and out of jail, and it seems like the only way they can be a Christian is in jail. So, I mean, I'll pray with them, and every time, you know, they want to see me and I see them, I pray with them. And, yeah, I never give up on them. And God's never given up on us. And that's why we're here in church today, is we listen to God. We listen to God when we should have. And so that's why we're here today. And we got to keep on listening to God, because God's going to keep on working with us. We can never be perfect. We can never be perfect. That's why he says to pray the prayer of forgiveness every day. Next slide. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Every day, God wants us to say, hey, God, if I've done anything wrong today, please forgive me. Which most of the time, you might be able to think of something, which I do it right. I try to do it right away. But even if you can't, there's always something we've done. There's always something we do or say, or we get mad when we're not supposed to, which I try to pray after that. I'm like, oh, God, I shouldn't have gotten that mad. Forgive me. But that's the prayer we pray every day. Say, God, forgive us our sins that we've done. There's a catch to it, though. We have to forgive others. We have to forgive others. And so that's, you know, if we don't forgive others, Jesus says God won't forgive us. So if you know somebody that doesn't want to forgive others, that means God hasn't forgiven them. God cannot forgive us if we don't forgive other people. So sometimes you're so mad at somebody, what are you going to do? I'm going to stay mad at that guy. Well, God's not going to forgive me. That's what this prayer is for. You can at least say it. You can say, God, I forgive. I forgive that person that did me wrong. You might still be mad about it. You might not really mean it. But if you pray it every day and you say it and you think about those people, God's going to make it even easier for you. And I think if we do the best we can, God's going to give us credit for it. If we keep on trying, like, I just can't stand that person, God, but okay, I forgive them, God. Even though I can't stand them, I forgive them. As you say, to pray for your enemies. If you do that next time, a couple times later, you might be like, oh, God, thank you for helping me forgive them. Wow, why do they act like they want to talk to me? You know, so that's like 6 or 8 or 10 or 50 prayers down the road, because God's going to work with you. So to say sorry, it takes a strong person to say sorry, and even a stronger person to say, I forgive. So if you see somebody out there that says they're going to seek vengeance and go after everybody that goes after them, God hasn't forgiven them. It takes a stronger person to forgive their enemies. Next slide. So pray like this. Lord, teach us to pray. Do not bring us to a time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. What does that mean, bringing us to a time of trial? Which the other translations say, lead us not to temptation. Like God's actually leading us into temptation. After reading some of the Old Testament, I think I got some kind of an idea about it. Anybody, if they want to, you know, talk to me afterwards or something about any other ideas, that's cool, because I'm still open. But remember the story when David, future King David, was playing an instrument for Saul. And it said, an evil spirit from the Lord came upon King Saul, and he tried to kill David. He threw a spear at him, and it missed David, and I think David ran away. Remember that story? That's interesting. But you know what? God is doing what He wants us to do. God accepts responsibility for everything and everyone He created, good or evil. And so the evil ones, they can't do anything without God allowing them to do it. God doesn't like bad things to happen, but God has a permissive will, and He uses them to get His will done. And for some reason, He allowed that to happen, you know, maybe to make David stronger. He allowed an evil person to try to kill David. David escaped. But you know what? David started making the right choices. Even though he made a lot of mistakes, he started making the right choices. And actually, God said, hey, he is a man after my own heart. After several encounters with an evil person, I kept on trying to kill him one way or another. So God takes responsibility. And so actually, that was a trial that King David went through when King Saul tried to kill him. That was a trial. And so, but it's okay. Jesus says, hey, it's okay to ask God. It's okay. Do not bring us to a time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Well, sometimes there is a time of trial. Like when I lose my keys, I'm like thinking, hey, maybe you're keeping me out of a wreck. You know, so whenever we have a time of trial, we pray about it. And if we, and we say, hey, don't make it worse, God. Rescue us from the evil one. So that's what we do. That's the way I interpret that, about God accepting responsibility. And then us, it's our job to look to God, when we can get our head straight again. Like David, we might be running away or something, or we might be mad, but later on, when we get our head straight, we're saying, protect us from the evil one. And don't make it any worse, dear God. Please don't let that happen again. And so that's how I interpret that. So God delivers us from Satan, from bad things and harm, more than we ever know. How often do we just stop and say, thank you, God? Through everything that bad that can happen to us, how often do we stop and say, thank you, God? Next slide. Forgiveness is required on both ends. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So that's later on, 14. That's the last verse I'm saying, because Jesus emphasizes that. Because a lot of times, even me, a lot of times I get wrapped up in not liking somebody. So that's why Jesus stressed that again. Because, back then the Jews, they were like, if you sin, you do a serious sin, you offer a sacrifice, which we sin all the time. So, when is the Day of Atonement? The first day of the year, Yom Kippur. That's when everybody had to be forgiven as a nation. That's when the court of God sat during that time. The court of God sat during that time. That's how they believe God sat in heaven. And God decided who was going to live and who was going to die the next year. Whether it was their time to die or whether they were going to be cut off from not worshiping God and not being sincere and asking for forgiveness. And we all know it's dangerous for the priest to go into the Holy of Holies. But the thing that wasn't stressed as much is forgiving others. Because, now we're in a day of grace. We're in an age of grace. It's not going to go away. The age of grace is here to stay. And God wants us to have grace on others, as God has grace on us. And so we must forgive others, which I see that as an ultimate challenge to do today. And so I challenge myself and everybody else next week to, think about somebody we can't stand, somebody we don't like, if there is somebody like that, or somebody in the past that, hey, maybe we don't see them anymore, but, maybe we can think about praying for them. But, I challenge everybody to do that this week, and that'll help us get closer to God. Next slide. So yeah, that's what I do. So may God bless us as we promise to do work for Him throughout this week as we leave this sanctuary. This isn't really God's house. God's house is in our hearts. But we are meeting here as a fellowship, and as a fellowship of all our personal God's houses together, we meet here as a sanctuary, which is wonderful. But then we have to go out into the world. And so that's what we need to think about. If somebody wrongs us, we need to think about forgiving them. That's a challenge I'm doing. And y'all may have your personal challenges that you want to do throughout this week, until next Sunday, when we worship God again. Shall we pray? Dear God, Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for blessing us through your word, dear Lord. Help us to apply your word in our everyday life, dear God. Help us to be able to do that. help us to have discernment, dear Lord, in all our dealings with everybody. And help us to be able to forgive people, dear God. Forgive us, too. Forgive us for what we've done wrong. Break down all barriers between us and you. Any barriers that we erected, any barriers we erected on purpose, and any barriers that we don't know about, we just erect through our own evil nature that's always there, dear God, that you cleanse, and someday we'll be glorified. We'll be just like you. We'll be beyond space and time. But until then, we accept that, and we ask you to speak through us in everything we say, in all our actions. Let everything we do be pleasing to you. When something is not, help us to realize it right away and ask you to forgive us and ask you to help us and ask you to work with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now's the time for our tithes and offerings, and your offerings may be put in the offering plate at the back of the church or mailed into the church office, and we appreciate your faithfulness in this regard. And now it's time for special music, and today it's going to be a little bit more special, at least to me anyway. Today is my sister Melissa's birthday. And Melissa is on the prayer chain. I've mentioned her several times before. She has lupus that she's struggling with. And she's managed to reach her 65th birthday today. And I asked her to select a favorite hymn or song for me to present today. And she has made the selection that I'm going to present.
Like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I depend upon thee.
Praise God from whom blessings flow. Praise God, creatures hear the love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God for dear Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways. May this offerings be used for the edification of your kingdom. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now our final hymn is number 110, A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
Tremble not for him, his rage we
May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. Go in peace and do God's work. Amen. For you.